Here, in the monastery of Maria Maddalena de Pazzi in Carecci, lies the incorrupt body of the ecstatic saint, Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, the patron saint of sick people, against sexual temptations, and against bodily ills. Now looking at this amazing work of God here, one may be amazed and wonder, what was so special about this so-called ecstatic saint? But Mary Magdalene de Pazzi is not a saint, because she received ecstasies and graces from God. Many have received visions, ecstasies, and miracles without becoming holy. She is a saint because of her response to those gifts, a lifelong struggle to show love and gratitude to the God who gave her those graces. In fact, Mary Magdalene saw her ecstasies as evidence of a great fault in her, not a reward for holiness. She told one fellow sister that God did not give the sister the same graces because you don't need them in order to serve Him. In her eyes, God gave these gifts to those who were too weak to become holy otherwise. That Mary Magdalene received these gifts proved, in her mind, how unworthy she was. Now born in Florence, Italy, on April 2, 1566, Mary Magdalene, baptized Catherine, was taught mental prayer when she was 9 years old at the request of her mother. Her introduction at this age to this form of prayer, which involves half an hour of meditation, did not seem to be unusual. At 12 years of age, she experienced her first ecstasy while looking at a sunset, which left her trembling and speechless because she was left amazed at the beautiful work of God in nature. Soon after her first ecstasy and intimately encountering her beloved, Mary Magdalene made a private vow of virginity to the Lord. When her parents wanted her to marry, as she was their only daughter, she revealed to them her vow to the Lord, and she soon entered a Carmelite monastery. Her great love and devotion to the Eucharist is what led her to enter the Carmel of St. Mary's of the Angels, because the nuns took daily communion, which was something unusual at the time. In 1583, she had a second mystical experience when the other nuns saw her weeping before the crucifix as she said, "O love, you are neither known nor loved." She experienced within her soul the pain that her beloved Jesus experiences from the rejection of so many souls on the earth. No doubt, her tears, prayers, and penances brought consolation to the wounded heart of Jesus. Mary Magdalene's life is a contradiction of our instinctive thought that joy only comes from avoiding suffering. I do not desire to die soon because in heaven there is no suffering. I desire to live a long time because I yearn to suffer much for the love of my spouse. Now, a month after being refused early religious profession, she fell deathly ill. Fearing for her life, the convent had her profess from a stretcher at the altar. After that, she experienced 40 days of ecstasies that coexisted with her suffering. Joy from the graces God gave were mixed with agony as her illness grew worse. In one of her experiences, Jesus took her heart and hid it in His own, telling her He would not return it until it is wholly pure and filled with pure love. She didn't recover from her illness until told to ask for the intercession of Blessed Mary Bagnesi over 3 months later. What her experiences and prayer had given her was a familiar, personal relationship with Jesus. Her conversations with Jesus often take on a teasing, bantering tone that shocked those who have a formal, fearful image of God. For example, at the end of her 40 days of graces, Jesus offered her a crown of flowers or a crown of thorns. No matter how often she chose the crown of thorns, Jesus kept teasingly pushing the crown of flowers towards her. When He accused her, "I called you, and you didn't care," she answered back, "You didn't call loudly enough," and told Him to shout His love. For the majority of her time as a religious, Sister Mary Magdalene endured great physical suffering and illness. While experiencing excruciating suffering, our Lord consoled her with His overwhelming presence and love. "I will take away not the grace, but the feeling of grace. Though I will seem to leave you, I will be closer to you." Mary Magdalene was quite embarrassed by the attention this brought her. For all her days, she wanted a hidden life and tried everything she could to achieve it. When God commanded her to go barefoot as part of her penance, and she could not walk with shoes, she simply cut the soles out of her shoes so no one would see her as different from the other nuns. If she felt an ecstasy coming on, she would hurry to finish her work and go back to her room. Some sisters ridiculed her, and some sisters wished they experienced ecstasy like her. She would say to those sisters that they should be thankful that they are strong enough to advance in holiness without the Lord Jesus having to give extra graces to keep them going. She was convinced of her misery and weakness because Jesus would grant her so many graces while in suffering. She learned to see that for her to be known for bad quality or deeds were part of God's will. When teaching a novice to accept God's will, she told her, "I wanted a hidden life, but see, God wanted something quite different for me." With that being said, she also endured a 5-year period of great dryness and severe temptations against purity and to suicide. All she could do to fight back was hold on to prayer, penance, and serving others even when it appeared to do no good. She received visions of the souls in purgatory during her time of purification and also received the sacred stigmata invisibly as she begged the Lord to keep it hidden. What is at the heart of this lesson is being thankful for whatever season you are in with the Lord in your life. Whether in a time of great consolation or desolation, the key is to persevere in prayer and penance, in gratitude for God, always seeking His will. At this time, she could have asked for any gifts, but she wanted two in particular: to look on any neighbor as good and holy, without judgment, and to always have God's presence before her. Mary Magdalene was no pale, shrinking flower. Her wisdom and love led to her appointment to many important positions at the convent, including mistress of novices. She did not hesitate to be blunt in guiding the woman under her care when their spiritual life was at stake. When one of the novices asked permission to pretend to be impatient so the other novices would not respect her so much, Mary Magdalene's answer shook the novice out of this false humility. "What you want to pretend to be, you already are in the eyes of the novices. They don't respect you nearly as much as you like to think." Mary Magdalene's life offers a great challenge to all those who think that the best penance comes from fasting and physical discomfort. Though she fasted and wore old clothes, she chose the most difficult penance of all by pretending to like the things she didn't like. Not only is this a penance most of us would shrink from, but by acting like she enjoyed it, no one knew she was doing this great penance. In 1604, headaches and paralyzation confined her to bed. Her nerves were so sensitive that she could not be touched without agonizing pain. Ever humble, she took the fact that her prayers were not granted as a sure sign that God's will was being done. For 3 years she suffered before dying on May the 25th, 1607, at the age of 41. Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, pray for us.